asked questions in all of these years of ministry is, how can I get my kids? I'll just read it off of here. How do you get adult children and their family to attend church? Now, I have had so many parents say, pray with me. I'm trying to get my kids to serve God, to come to church, to do right, to quit this, to do that. Here's another one. More than anything, I want my son to find Jesus. My continued prayer is the Lord's will. Put the right people in their lives that will lead them to him. I try to be an example. What else can I do? Well, we're going to start right there. And if you would take your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. Father, be with us as we bring light on this subject this morning. I'm going to be, first of all, in the New Living Translation. And turn there with whatever translation. I'm sure they'll have something up on the board in just a moment. Proverbs chapter 17, and I'm going to read verse 6. I want you to see this. Thank you, Father. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. Grandkids. Grandparents, do we not live for our grandkids? Amen. All right. And parents are the pride of their children. And let me just share how I raised four girls and one boy. And let me share from the parents are the pride of their children aspect right quick. You know, when my kids were little, there was nobody like Daddy. Casey had a friend, and Casey's friend told Casey, I wish your dad was my dad. And that was to my glory, to hear those kind of things. Whenever Kelly or Casey were hurt, they wanted their dad. I remember one time I was with another brother, and she had, I think, rode down the our long driveway and found the ground at the end of the driveway. And it was right around Easter, if I'm not mistaken. And she looked like Elmer Fudd. This top lip was about that big. She looked like she had a Botox job. My goodness. And all she wanted was dad. And those were good, good days. But I want to share something with you that happened that I didn't think had to happen. And that's why we're sharing this with you. As they got older and older, and especially when they left the house, you know, I still expected them to listen to me to the same level and degree as they did before. And I want to tell you this. I am sure that that is wrong. I'm sure that it's wrong. Now, it took me longer maybe than anybody in this room to come to that understanding. I only came to that understanding about my children in the last 5 years. As I reevaluated some things and looked at some things and tried to understand my role as a dad, I felt a tremendous responsibility as a dad, husband, and pastor to have answers for people. I felt the pressure of that. And at times when I didn't have, I felt the remorse and the regret of not being able to help certain people. And it was awful. It tormented me. And let me share this with you. Jesus said in the last days, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And I want you to know our enemy, it's not your kid and it's not your parent. It's the devil. And don't ever think he's not trying to inspire and bring about situations where you will resent one another. There are parents and children that don't talk to each other. I've had that happen to me for a season in my life at times, and never really understood it except for the last 5 years as I was forced to take a close look in the Word and see what in the world is wrong. But I can tell you this here. It is a modern-day strategy of the devil to separate. A house divided will not stand. The greatest separation you can do, we're seeing Arkansas has the number one divorce rate in America. We also are the most food-needy state in America. So don't tell me this message isn't for you. Or at least hear me out. I want to share with from my heart. This is so easily fixed, because anytime somebody can show me something in the Word of God, that's good enough for me. I felt like I can't. It's like it's a ball. I can't let this down. I'm going to do this for God. God, they're not listening, but I know you're going to make them. Blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And I want you to know that's not true. I thought about entitling my message Basic Training. Basic Training is the first training that you get in the Air Force, Army, Marines, Navy. It's the first training you get. It usually 10 weeks, 12 weeks. But after that, you may never see your drill sergeant again. And my point is, you've got to go on to some greater things. And that drill sergeant just can't find you on the street and say, hey, what are you doing? I think you need to do this. They can't do that. That's not what it's all about. My point is, let's just look at this verse one more time. This is so beautiful, so true. I found every part of the Word of God that I understand, I found it to be true for my life. I agree with all of it. There's not one thing I don't agree with. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. Hi, Dad, how are you doing? Don't worry about me. Where's that kid? I want that kid this weekend. To the point that I'm beginning to realize it's getting back to me. They don't want to be at Papa and Nana's house anymore. And you know what? I can live with that. It's going to be all right, because I'm going to watch them, and they're going to grow, and they're going to do great things. And let me tell you this, and parents are the pride of their children. And as your children grow up, if that changes, we have to try to get that back in order. God wants the family to be tight, to be close. And I think parents have their part in that part of separation. If we continue to treat them like they're 12-year-old, I've had one of my daughters tell me, I'm a grown blankety-blank child. You ain't going to tell me what to do. And I thought, oh, yes, I am, if I can figure out a way. But you know, that's wrong. I'm wrong. Can you say you're wrong when you're wrong? Because if you're a believer, that's going to help you. And if you can't say that you're wrong when you're wrong, that's going to hinder your walk with Christ. I can tell you that. So let's just go on. We'll answer plenty of questions. And please, we mean it. I have found this, the top five, one of the top five questions that the average believer has in their heart has to do with, how do I get along with my kids? How do I get along with my parents? I'm telling you, over all the years, anybody that knows me, the first thing, if I talk to you for 30 seconds, I'll be asking you, what can we pray about? That's just what I do. And I'm gonna lose some parents today and challenge some parents and challenge some children also. Because if we can get this right, oh my gosh, the few chairs that's empty here this morning, they'll be full, and we'll have to break out that wall. We'll have to build a bigger sanctuary. And there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. We are about to dedicate the Manna Center, our latest project. Amen. And it's going to be used in our food ministry. And, you know, little did I know how important our food ministry, and I did not know the statistic. I was talking to my sister up in Illinois, and she looked it up on her phone. And by the way, if you have a smartphone, you're a Bible scholar. You can put anything in there. You can find out any Bible verse. You can find out what it means in the Greek, what it means in the Chaldee, what it means in the Hebrew. But we're about to have that building. And you know, think about this. We are. And, you know, I don't know if I'm blind or what. We've always given food to people. But we are the number one, with no close second, the number one most food-needy state in America. And God has put us, make no mistake, God has put us here to do something about that. Our start is Logan County. But don't kid yourself, we're going to take the River Valley. And bless God, don't kid yourself there. We're going to take the whole state of Arkansas. And then we're going to be on TV. And we're going to be ministering that way. I've already spent 6-8 years on television in Fort Smith years ago. And God, this is a place, if you want to. Now, nobody can make you do anything. We respect that. We understand that. But if you want to serve God, see, you're served to save. You can do it here. We have so many ministries here. And everybody that serves and helps her, God bless you and thank you. We couldn't do it without you. We need every one of you that will work. God bless you. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. And I think I might know more parents, more children that don't feel that way about their parents than do. And that's not good. And most of that is over the cross, the church. And I think somehow with the help of the devil, many times we have been made to feel like it's our job to get that kid serving God. And nothing could be further than the truth. I'm telling you, nothing can be further truth. In the last 5 years, I've only begun to make some changes in how I deal with my adult children. They're all adults now, and my grandchildren, some of them are getting to be adults too, so I just got to watch them. So if you've got children at home and they're getting up around that age, 14, 15, 16, you know, pay heed to them, because they need for you to be different. They need you to roll and flow with God's flow, God's purpose. Put up, if you would, please, Proverbs 22:6 in the New Living Translation. That's our next verse on that list. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. That's the verse. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get older, they will not leave it. I've raised 5 kids. All 5 of them are God conscious and in church. And I'm going to share something about one of them. I might wait just another minute before I do. Train up a child in the way they should go. Now, you have to understand, parents, there comes a time to let them go. Especially when they are out of your house, they're not in your house anymore, you cannot possibly think that God wants you to continue to say, and see, I did for a long time. Boy, you're going to listen to me or not, you're wrong. Blah, blah, blah. But see, that's not the right message. That's the wrong message. And if I'm talking to the children today, I'm saying, Pray for us, parents. And give us some grace. And to every parent here that's having trouble with this, before this service is over, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you an opportunity to let go, starting in your heart. It's very hard. It's not easy. But it's right. And you know what? It's a new freedom when you realize it is no longer my responsibility to hound that child into submission. I used to say, you're going to do it because I said so, because I'm your dad. That's why. But you know, that's not good when they're out of your house, especially. My goodness, you can't keep saying that kind of thing. For goodness sakes, you will alienate yourself. Think about all the people that you know that have children and they're not even talking with one another. It's just gotten so bad. And you must understand that is the work of Satan. That's what Satan wants. He wants to divide us so completely that even in a household, a man's enemies will be those of his own house. That's what Jesus said 2,100 years ago. Train up a child. Train up a child. Train up a child. Train up a child. Train them up. When they're little, yes, it's your responsibility. They're 8, 9, 10. It's still your responsibility to say, yeah, you're going, yeah, you're coming to church. Yeah. You're going to do this here. I can remember one of my kids. They were going to see my family up in Illinois, and they were about to get on a plane, and they had big, huge holes in their pants. The holes were too big. Now, holes, I understand. I've never wore holes with pants. You know why? I was so poor. If I could just get me a pair that didn't have any holes in them, I thought I was doing good. But it was so bad. I made that child. I got four girls. Don't try to figure out which one it is. And I said, you need to go change that. You're not getting on that airplane. Look, you're not going to meet my relatives that way. And she changed those pants, but she took them with her. Bless God, when she got up to Illinois, she was wearing them. I felt like I did the best I could. Now, what was that? That is really cool. And somehow, in all of that, you've lost me. I'm not on the speaker system anymore. What do y'all think that is? Okay, here we are. This thing says it's still on. Do I need to take a handheld? Praise God. How many of you enjoying this so far? Man, I wouldn't be. I'm going to have to hear something else to enjoy anything here. I'm going to try to get you to a happy place in the next few minutes, a place of a greater joy and peace than you've had, whether you're a parent or whether you're a child, a grown child. This is hard for us. I've never heard this taught on television. I've never heard it taught. Grew up in Chicago, lived for 14 years in California, and I've been here since 1986. This is my home. I love this place. But I have never heard a teaching on this subject, parents and their grown children. Not parents and their little children. When they're in your house and they're eating your groceries and so on and so forth, that's still the basic training stage. But as they get bigger and older, I'm going to tell you what God wants you to do, and it's not easy. It wasn't easy for me. I still don't have it down pat, but I've got enough of it. He wants you to let go. Parents, you hear me. That's not easy. He wants you to let go. He wants you to let go. I had the joy to raise Evan till he was 16 years old, from the time he was a baby till he was 16. And when he turned 16, he wanted to leave, and one of my daughter's kid and another fella in town. And I remember one night I got Kelly over there and Mary over there and Larry and two or three others, and we tried to reason with Evan, and I heard this. It's about 5 years ago. Angelo, son, let that boy go. We had him in the academy, Subiaco Academy. I liked it better than he did. Go figure. I mean, I don't know. I just loved it. I thought it was so cool. But he wanted to be in Paris. He wanted to be with his friends, and we were strict. We were not pansy parents. You know, we knew what the word said, and bless God, if you live under my roof, you're going to church with me. Oh, we're going to make other arrangements. Well, and other things too, beside that. And finally the Lord said, Angela, I want you to let Evan go. And I'm just being very intimate with you here. My heart was broken. I said, but God, all of this work that we did for these 16 years, he's going to go and be amongst people. He's going to live with people that they're not even going to church. They don't acknowledge God. Why? And he said, Angelo, I just want you to trust me. Can you trust me, Angelo? And I let Evan go. And I would try to meet up with him, to have a meal with him or see him. And at first, he wasn't very much into that. And then he got to where he was more into that. Something very beautiful happened. About less than a year ago, Evan began to say this to some of his relatives, and it got back to me, and this is what it was. Papa and Nana raised me, Angelo and Millie, and I didn't realize it at the time. They were trying to get me to do the right thing. They said, I've already told my heart, I'm going to try to be as much like Papa Angelo as I can. Amen. That is the truth. That really happened. Brenda, did you hear him say any of that stuff? No. Which one of you here, any of you here hear him say that? It got back to me. Mary, I think you were one of the people that told me, right? Yeah. But anyway, it got back, and all of a sudden, me and Evan are closer than we've ever been before. Last Saturday, he brought his beautiful girlfriend to our house. We had a meal together. And I'm telling you, there's a time to let go of these kids. And about the time that they leave your house, that's really time. And by the time they're 14, 15, 16, 17, they're still in your house, you need to start getting them ready and let them go. Let them go. Let them go. And trust that you did what you were supposed to do. Now, what's the difference? I have found the more that I've just let my kids go, that all of a sudden now that they want my counsel. And I don't always feel like I have it for them. I tell them if I don't. And I tell them, well, this is what I think I would do, and this is the reason why. And I can pick up this Bible. And one of the things I purposed in my heart, that in my circle of people that I know, I would know the Word of God better than anybody else in my circle. Because your answer is in this Bible if you're trying to be a Christian. Amen. That's where your answer is. You've got it. There's over 7,500 promises. The promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. Amen. What that means is if you know where it's at and you've got it hid in your heart and you will speak the word, you're going to have the promise, okay? And so I just went on and I just believed and just have seen wonderful things happen. And I've seen my children suffer with bad choices. And what they don't need to hear then, listen to me, everybody, is that you should have listened to me. But you know, maybe that's not the most important part of the deal. Maybe it's that you're there. And they know that you're not trying to prove a point and pull your galluses out. They know that you were there with them. They know that you're suffering with them. I'll tell you what, every time I've made a wrong decision, say I didn't have a dad. I grew up without a father. But God became my father. He was my father. He helped me. He got me through so many things. And what I had to do was think about how God dealt with me as a son. And nobody's a better father than God Almighty. I'm telling you, is anybody any better? I don't think so. You might now. I envy you if you had a good experience with your mom and dad. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. They ain't no better father than God, the Creator Father. And I begin to realize some of the ways I was dealing with my adult children, God wouldn't deal with me that way. It was kinder. He was kinder. He listened. He listened a lot. And he would tell me things like, Angelo, that wasn't the best way, but I'm going to help you. And we're going to get out of this and it's going to be all right. And I think that's what we need. I'm talking to hearts this morning. There are hearts here this morning. People that have heard. And it's touching your heart. It's saying to you, I think he's right. In about 15 more minutes, I'm going to give you a chance to act on what you believe. Train up a child. But realize that training up a child, there is an end to that. The word says this. Fellas, give me Genesis 2:24. I'll put that in a different place in the King James language. Genesis 2:24. Therefore, this is at the beginning of the Bible. This is at the beginning of human families that God created. This is what God says. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they will become one, one flesh. And while the parents are in there, that is hard to happen. You have got to let go of those kids. Because the word instructs it from the Genesis chapter 2, the beginning of the Bible, for goodness sakes. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. And of course a daughter leave her father and her mother. What for? So it's God is saying this. Okay. You did that part. Don't worry about it. Leave the rest to me. And I'm not saying we don't do anything when we see our children making mistakes. But I'll tell you this, if you sit around and watch, maybe what you thought was a mistake ain't a mistake, for one thing. And number two, there's no sense in jumping the gun. God never jumped the gun on me and just browbeat me down. And yet I was trying to do that. And I tried to do that as a pastor and as a neighbor and a friend and an enemy. And I found that it doesn't fit anywhere in my life. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother And the whole of the Bible teaches this. That means there are certain things that you no longer have the right to say to them unless they ask you. And if you do, and you henpeck them, and you push them, you will drive them away probably. Or they will never get to be what they could be if you were to just leave them to God. Amen. Now, amen. Do you know what amen means? Amen means, so be it. I'm in agreement with that. Now, by the sound of your voice, how many of you in here are in agreement with what I said so far?
Amen.
That's very good. It means, so be it. It means I'm in agreement. It means that's gospel to me. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Now that word, to cleave unto your wife, means to be, to catch by pursuit, to be in a constant state of romance, a constant state of pursuing her and cleaving to her. And in that constant state of love, the Bible doesn't say, well, you don't sing a B.B. King song with your marriage and say, well, the thrill is gone. No. The word says, husbands, love your wives. And that's not a special way to feel. That's a special thing to do. It's the way that you talk to your wife. Say, I've been guilty here. That's all I know so well. It means to be in a special way to make her feel, to speak to her, to give to her, to do for her. It's a special way to do that. And I can tell you this, I remember a little bit from Millie's parents. They tried to interfere in our marriage. And I'll tell you what, I was just a kid, and I was a hot-headed kid, and I just gave them what for. I just let them know, bless God, you ain't going to tell me what to do. That isn't going to work. And I alienated them, and I caused problems with them because I didn't handle it right. I didn't handle it as a child. I should have handled it better. I didn't have to. I remember one night Hip came over to our house, and he wanted to talk to Millie, and they were getting Millie all upset about two or three different things. And I said, no, you're not going to see her tonight. And he got smart with me, and I almost punched his lights out right out in front of my house. I run him off. You know what? I had to repent for that. That was wrong. That wasn't the right thing to do. I want you to know that. I'm sure that that was not the right thing to do. And cleave unto his wife. Cleave and be in such a state of love and pursuit of one another that you become one with that person. Now, the way that the humans are, we can only become one with one person to that level, to the husband and wife level, and that's where it's at. In Genesis 2:24, where it's where we can become one with that person. Many times I've told people, you need to leave that person because they're never going to get right. And what I've learned is this, to wait to see if that's what they wanted from me. If they wanted me to tell them that, because a lot of times that's not what they were asking for when they were came to me with their family problems. Now, if they asked me, I would give them my honest opinion. But I'm learning, you know, the hardest thing in the world I had to learn that I didn't know everything. That was hard for me. Anybody else like that? Or are you all real good? You just learned that the first time? Therefore shall a man leave his mother and father. And you know what? They don't have to just leave in matrimony. When they leave your house, when Evan left my house, I just had to wait till he was ready. Now, does that mean that I did nothing? No, I'm not saying that. Because this is what I found. There's things you can't say to your kids. There's going to be a problem if you say them once they get older. Now, while they're under your roof and they're 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, they still need to hear that, bless God. But there comes a point, and when they leave, whenever that is, they leave. And somehow they leave. That's the end of it. You better start thinking about Plan B. And Plan B better include the Bible, Genesis to the maps. You better find the word in there. And what you want to do with that word is you want to tell Jesus about it. And see, what I begin to realize with me, I thought so much responsibility on me that I didn't realize God could help my kids a lot better than I could. That was hard. That was hard for me. We came here. We did not have any church affiliation. I didn't have anybody else I could go to get counsel from. The Lord said, Angelo, some men walk alone. That's what I'm calling you to do. And God became my counselor, my father, deeply intimate with him. And I still sinned and made mistakes. But I'm telling you, we cannot. We have to let those kids go when they leave your house. I could recall people in this room and people that are still in this church right now were wanting prayer for this here. And I'm not saying I can't pray about it. What I mean is I can't pray about it like I have to point us to God, because God has the answers. We can't talk to our children about certain things, but we can talk to God about everything. Absolutely everything. You know what I realized with myself? I didn't have the faith. I didn't have the faith. I thought I was right up there with God. And I guarantee you, I am not. And the most wonderful thing I found was not that, was the fact that he's God. That time that I spent with each one of my children, it was not in vain. It was not wasted. My children love God. All five of them do. And they're all trying to get and keep their kids in church. And there'll come a time when each one of them, they'll have to let go of their kids. Maybe I can help them by then. What if you're not here? Well, what if I am? Genesis 6 and 3, you know what it says? Man's days will be 120 years. Now, I'm just a spring chicken. I'm only 72 years old, for God's sake. I still swim in the Arkansas River every year. Last year, I bought a brand new motorcycle. Now, I'm not going to join the Hell's Angels or a motorcycle gang, but I've got a brand new motorcycle. But let's consider these thoughts. You and your children, you and your parents. This is not the last message on this subject. This is just one. How long is it going to go? We don't know. Until if it's a subject you still like and you still have questions, look here. I'm going to give you. How do you get adult children and their family to attend church? Well, you know what I realize now? That's not my job. I might do them more harm. See, they left me. They left me. It was healthy and normal for them to leave me. What I need to do is ask God, God, what are you doing in my child's life? What are you doing? How can I work with what you're doing? You're the head of them, not me. You're their creator, not me. And so my answer is, how do you get adult children and their family to attend church? Well, every once in a while, not every time you see them, invite them to church. Every once in a while. There's a difference between doing that and said, well, you didn't come last week. What's your problem? Did you not hear what I... See, we can't... It isn't going to work with grown children. It shouldn't. If they're healthy, they're not going to like that. They're going to distance themselves from you. And see, God doesn't want you and your children to be distanced from one another. And maybe if we love them the way God loves them, you know, God never rushed me into anything. I'm sorry to say that. I'm saved, and thanks God for forgiveness. And salvation is not a one-time thing. It's not a matter of you coming up and shaking a preacher's hand or going to the altar. The Word says, work out your salvation every day. Salvation is something that has to be worked out. It needs to be worked on. It's your relationship with God. It's the only thing that's going to give us satisfaction is if we work it out. More than anything, I want my son to find Jesus. My continued prayer is the Lord will put the right people in their lives and that will lead them to him. I try to be an example to them. What else can I do? I'm going to tell you something. Now, maybe everybody doesn't have this problem, but I have this problem up until just recently. When you make a mistake, and they know you made a mistake, especially if you made a mistake with them, do you have what it takes to tell your children, I was wrong, would you forgive me? Because I do, don't I? Casey, let me tell you something, hon. Not everything that... Not everything that Dad tried to give you was right. I thought it was right, but I'm sure some of it was wrong. Just forgive me. That's all I ask. Please forgive me. There's time I was wrong in your life. I didn't do everything right. Amen. You forgive me? Good. Good, good, good. So my answer is, what else can I do? The next thing you can do, if you really want your children to come to Jesus and to attend your church, let them see you being what a Christian should be. Amen, and when you make a mistake in a child's life, you don't say, well, they'll get over it. No, that's not the point. You'll do a lot better if you tell them, look, I was wrong. When I said that, when I did that, I was wrong. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I ask people to forgive me all the time. You know why? Most people that I know, they can't do that. They can't ask people. They can never. Most people that I know cannot look me in the eye and say, hey, I was wrong. Angel, there's things in your life I tried to do. I thought they were right at the time. I don't think they were right anymore. I was wrong. Can you forgive me? Yes. There's others in here. Every year I used to get up and say, look, I don't, and I'm going to say it right now. I might have done something to somebody in here that I thought was right. Maybe I was wrong. Can you forgive me? That's one of the greatest questions that you can ask. You see that cross up there? It has everything to do with forgiveness, with God forgiving you and with you forgiving others. It has everything to do with that. Without the forgiveness of that cross doesn't have any power. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your heavenly Father may forgive you. But if you will not forgive, God will not forgive you. You want to stop the blessings of your in your life? You withhold forgiveness from somebody, they'll stop. They'll stop. It's just the way the Word works. I'm not going to ask you if you enjoy this, but how many of you are getting something out of this? Good. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. Now, let's look up Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 in the New Living Translation, please. Here it is. Now, you've really got to hear this all the way to the last word in this verse, okay? Children, obey your parents, for this is right or pleasing to the Lord. Now look at the rest of this, though. See, I'm guilty of this maybe more than most people. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. I'm going to tell you something. I have aggravated my children until they became discouraged. And I spend every day with every one of them trying to gain that back and trying to never aggravate them again. Because, see, that's no longer who I am. See, the best thing that can happen to me now is what I wanted all their life. I want them to love me. I want to be their friend. I want to be their counselor. Are you getting anything out of this, Mary? Good. Praise God. Everybody's getting, I hope, my prayer is just that you get something out of this, that something is said here that can help you with your children. Because if you're at odds with your children, you're broken and sad about that. And it doesn't have to be that way if we can just realize, man, we make mistakes. Parents make mistakes. I have never thought that everything I said and did with each one of my children was correct. I have never thought that. But in the last 5 years, I've done everything I could to let them know I realized I wasn't right. You want to hear the best advice that I got from one of my kids? She said to me, Dad, I'm not looking to you for an answer in this problem. I just want you to listen to me. I just want you to listen, Dad. I think I'm the worst person I know that I'll think, I know where they're going with this, and I'll pop off the answer before they get the sentence completely out. And let me tell you something. Most of the time, I was wrong. They weren't going that way. And what they needed, and I've started learning this with the people that I know that just had a death in their family. I learned to just go and keep quiet. And if they started crying, I started crying. If they wanted me to hug them, I hugged them. If they wanted to say something to me, I said it to them. I beg you to consider that what I'm saying to you might be the truth, might be what you really, 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 really need. And the scripture here says, don't be so hard on your children that you discourage them. Try not to do that. Some of you right now, you know you could go somewhere and talk to one of your children. And you could say, look, I was just wrong. And I'm going to do better. And I just ask you to forgive me. Man, I don't know if anything's more powerful than forgiveness that comes from the heart, that comes from two beings being considerate of one another. They're just trying to grow up. And we just have to let them grow up. Let's look at number 3. My grown child seems angry with me and at me all the time. What do I do? This is what I did. I said, I always started by telling them, like with Evan, Evan, I don't believe everything I did was right with you. I'm sorry for everything I did wrong. Can you tell me Is there anything in particular that you want to talk about with me? Anything, because I'm ready to. I had somebody tell me a couple of years ago that was at this church here, and I just happened to have a divine appointment with them out on the river. And I said, they had left the church, and I said, and they had left in a divorce. It was a terrible situation. And I said, is there anything that I've done that I could have done different? And they said, yes. And they began to tell me what that was. And the Lord said, now, Angelo, just agree with them and tell them you were sorry for everything that they said you did. And I did that, and I learned a new skill in life. I said, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that. I said, I'm sorry for things I didn't do. Can you do that? I'm telling you. And I said, I'm sorry. And can you forgive me? Now that person broke down and started weeping uncontrollably. She said, yes, I can forgive you. She said, now, Pastor, tell me what I've done that I was wrong with. And I looked that person in the eye and said, I can't think of anything. There was nothing that I wanted to bring up. I would rather have healing and peace. Does that make sense to anybody in this room? Can you say you were wrong when you weren't? Can you ask forgiveness? Can you just know what that is? That's walking in great love one to another. That's what people do that love each other. There's Sam back there. Me and Sam have been close for many years. We're from Chicago. That's an unbroken bond. We're both from Chicago. And I've seen him take the rap in here, counseling with people for things he did not do. You know what that makes him? A mighty man of God. Think about Jesus before the Sanhedrin, before the Pharisees. He didn't even answer. He just went to the cross. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, see, I don't think and wonder. I know that God holds the future in my life. That life is worth the living just because he lives. If you don't have Jesus, what is it that's so great? It's Jesus. Every morning, Millie and I pray, Father, into your hands we commit our spirit. That was the last word of Jesus Christ on this earth on the cross. Into your hands I commit my spirit because I trust you, Lord, and because my life belongs to you because that's the way I want it. And whatever you say goes. That's just the way I want it. And Father, I just want to find your will. Ease me into and cause me to walk in your will. Because if I can, and you know what? Boy, I sleep a lot better. I do a lot better with that. My grown child seems angry with me all the time. What do? Tell them you love them. And if they say, well, you did this and you did that, just say, I'm sorry. Don't even argue with them. Can you just say you're sorry? Could you do it to your children? Could you ask them? Have you ever asked anybody face to face to forgive you? You know how powerful? There is nothing more powerful. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. When you can do that, there ain't anything you can't do. if you can just ask somebody to forgive you. You mean even if I wasn't wrong? Yeah, even if you weren't wrong. How do you decide when to say that? If it's going to mean you're going to walk away hateful with each other again, I'd try telling them, yeah, I did that. Can you forgive me? I would try that. You might be astonished at what happens. Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, in the King James language. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Now, did we get that wrong somehow? Matthew chapter 19, I might have put the wrong verse in there. Because what we're looking for, 19 and verse 6, you know, I didn't look this verse up. It was probably wrong in my study notes. Let me see. 19 and verse 6. Okay. That is the wrong verse. I am in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, and this is what Matthew 19, verse 6 in my King James version of the Bible says. Wherefore, they are no more two, but one flesh. Okay. Yeah, that's it. And therefore, what God has joined together, when people are joined together in holy matrimony, let nobody get in the way. Not even mom and dad and papa and nana. I'm telling you, all you'll do is mess your family up. Please know, I wasn't trying as hard as I could to get you upset with me. I was trying to put this in you. It took me a lifetime to get it inside of me. This is what God is speaking in this room this morning. God is asking some of you to let go of some things and let your kids grow up. And if that's you, I want you to stand up. God's saying to somebody in this room, it's time to let go. You know, if you look at it this way, I came for the ones that are standing up. And I hope the rest of you enjoyed this and you can use it somewhere. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those that are standing up, help them, God. This was very hard for me to get, Father. Help them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. Let's welcome Pastor Kelly back up here.